How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Let us read responsively selection number 540, verses drawn from the first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things might have preeminence.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. May God bless to our needs this reading from his word. Let us pray together. Almighty and eternal God, we bow before thee in reverence, in gratitude, and in hope, thankful to thee for all the blessings with which our lives are surrounded, for the upward call in Christ Jesus, for the strength of thy love that draws us not only to thyself, but to each other. We thank thee for this opportunity of coming aside from other calls, other duties, other interests, to a time of worship and meditation with sisters and brothers in Christ. We thank thee for the bonds that join us with others of thy family throughout all the earth, unknown to us by name, but beloved of thee and members of thy family. We ask that thou wilt deepen our sensitivity to each other, that thou wilt heighten our awareness of thy love and grace in our lives, and that thou wilt enable us, through the gifts bestowed upon us, to serve thee in the service of others, and thus, in bearing burdens with one another, in lifting up one another in prayer, in telling the good news of thy salvation, to bless and enrich the lives of those both near and far whom thou hast loved and called. Grant these thy gifts, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is a pleasure to have visiting on our campus and speaking to some of our classes as well as in our chapel service today, the Reverend Joseph O'Donnell, who is a priest and a member of the Glenmary Missioners. He is the official representative of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops in relationships with Southern Baptists. Father O'Donnell is a native of Chicago. He has served as pastor in a parish or two parishes in Kentucky, has taught in seminary, and now, with his base at Newnan, Georgia, spends most of his time traveling about over the country wherever we Southern Baptists are to be found. I delight in his use of a familiar set of words with a slightly different turn. He said a while ago, "Wherever two or three Baptists are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them." You'll find him at meetings of the Southern Baptist Convention, in pastors' conferences, in associations, in the meetings of the executive committee in Nashville. In fact, he reads our Baptist periodicals much more thoroughly and intensively than you and I do, and sometimes, I'm sure, even with more sympathy. It is a particular pleasure to welcome him to this company. He and I have been participating for some time now in conversations involving Catholic and Baptist teachers and pastors and others, and I have come to have a deep affection for him, great appreciation for his ability, for his spirit, for the contribution he is making to our understanding of each other, and I'm happy to welcome him to lead us in our thinking in this worship service today. Following the anthem, Father O'Donnell will speak to us.
How beautiful that music was, that Latin. I thought of the time a couple of years ago in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, on a Sunday before Christmas, the minister of music in the First Baptist Church came up to me in the restaurant and he said, "Joe, we had a first in our church today. We sang a Latin hymn." And I said, can you beat that? We sang Amazing Grace. It's the problem that's happening all through Christianity. I like to remind Catholic people, and I should remind you, there's a lot of similarities between Baptists and Catholics. We can see them. One of the things is that when you come to church on Sunday morning, the last pews to be filled in both of our congregations are the first pews, and this has happened again today, the pews in the front. I like to remind Catholic people, for example, that Baptists, generally speaking, sing longer, louder, and better than Catholics, and this is a fact. We have sort of been a very reticent kind of people, especially we had to grab all these Protestant Baptist hymns when we turned our masses into English. We're just gradually developing our own kind of hymn singing. I always like to remind Catholic people, another similarity between us is the fact that, and I'm sure it won't happen here, there's always a collection at our services, both of our groups. However, Baptists are smarter than Catholics. Traditionally, you take up your collections before the sermon. We take ours up after it. That's one of those things that we can learn from in this fine ecumenical spirit of our modern times. Also, it's very obvious to me that both of us as Baptists and Catholics become very influenced by affluence. And because of the fact that Catholics, for example, when they get a little money, and because we're famous for kneeling, the first thing we do when we get any money is to pad the kneelers in our pew, in our churches. But Baptists, when they get a little money, the first thing they do is to pad the seats of their pews because they're much more famous for longer sermons. One of the blessings of being a Catholic is that they cannot tolerate more than a 10-minute sermon. However, I've been around Baptists long enough, I tend to preach a little bit longer, so that's your tough luck here this morning. I come here as a Christian, reminding myself and reminding you that we have so much in common. I like to remind my Catholic friends, and I remind Baptists as well, that in every Catholic church throughout the United States on Sunday, we say what we call a profession of faith. And there are 32 lines in that profession. There isn't a Baptist that I know of who would disagree with 30 of those lines. Immediately, therefore, we can see we have so much in common. We accept the same New Testament. We believe in the same Trinity, the same Father who created us, the same Son, the Lord Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who died for our sins, who rose from the dead, and now lives in glory in heaven. Baptists and Catholics alike believe in the same Holy Spirit who can come to live in our hearts, who can fill us with the life and the breath of Jesus Christ, and who ultimately is the one who guides us slowly but surely to the heavenly kingdom. Both of us look forward to the glory of the resurrection, when we can live forever with our Father in heaven, with Jesus the Lord, united together in praise and song. We have so much in common. As a matter of fact, I think it is honest to say that the core of our faith is the same. Because the core of our faith is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, I feel a great confidence as I move among Baptist people. And I'm quite familiar, reasonably speaking, Baptists kid me that when you learn all you can about Baptists, you come and tell me so I can find out. I do read 7 Baptist papers a week, 7 state papers, and you got to admit, that's pretty heroic. I scan them at least, read all the editorials, and get a little familiarity with Baptist life. I attend Baptist services. We carry on many kinds of dialogues. You have a man in your interfaith witness department, Dr. C. Brownlow Hastings, and he and I work together quite a bit. He calls himself the Catholic Watcher, and so I guess you can say that I'm the Baptist Watcher. I envy Brownlow Hastings because three times since he's been in this work, he has gotten over to the Vatican, to the International Synod of Bishops, and all I get to do is go to Nashville. As I say, we have many kinds of dialogues going on. We have a dialogue that Dr. Steele, who introduced me and who I consider a dear friend, we have a scholars dialogue of which he is a participant. We have 11 Baptist theologians and 11 Catholic theologians. We meet twice a year. Our coming meeting in the end of October will be at Mercy Center in Cincinnati. And we are trying to discover, learn about those basic points of Baptist and Catholic life, to try and see a commonality, to try and see the points of difference. And it's an inspiring thing to come together for those 2 weekends a year to be with these men and to hear the discussion that goes on. We have dialogues on a state level. We call them state leaders' dialogues. We just finished one in Kentucky. That area over there, as some of you may know, is the old landmark section of Baptist life. I got my first experience with Baptists over behind Mammoth Cave in Brownsville, Kentucky, in the year 1950, when the real spirit of landmarks was still among Baptists and when Catholics were not supposed to speak to each other. One of the classic examples to me to show how far Baptists and Catholics have come along is when I first went in 1965 or so, after the Vatican Council had got going and I came back into parish life, I decided I wanted to join the Ministerial Association in Morgantown, Kentucky. And I went there, and the Cumberland Presbyterian, who was the president that year, he says, "Now, brothers, we've got a new problem here. We have this Catholic man here who wants to join the Ministerial Association. We should vote on this particular subject." And they voted 5-4 that I could not be a member. And I said, "Well, that's a pretty close vote. I ought to be able to, during the course of a year, get one vote in favor of me." And it did so happen that I became a dear friend of the Baptist pastor of the First Baptist Church, who's not there now, by the way. We became very dear friends. And I had him and his wife over for supper. He had me over to their house. We had prayer together. We discussed theology together. And this shows you how things have changed since then. At the end of that year, he said to me, "Joe, I really have a new insight into your church and into you. And therefore, when the election comes up this year, the voting comes up about you being a member of the Ministerial Association, I will abstain." We have truly come a long way since then. We have other kinds of the state leaders dialogue I was talking about, where we get the state executive director like we did in Kentucky. We had Dr. Frank Lanoan there and the three Catholic bishops. We had 30 Catholic leaders and 30 Baptist leaders from the state. We went out to the Baptist Assembly Center in Cedarmore, and we locked both groups up overnight. And Dr. Chauncey Daly, when he wrote an editorial on this subject, he said, "You know great things are happening when a Catholic bishop and a Baptist pastor sleep in the same room at night." And it was a great experience for everybody who was there. We also have, we've gotten pastors together. We brought them up to Little Switzerland, Dr. Claude Broach and I, and we had 4 days. We had 15 Baptist and 15 Catholic pastors together for 4 days. They prayed together, they studied together, they recreated together. And the experience was marvelous for all of them. We have weekend dialogues. Dr. Brownlow Hastings and I go together. We find two Baptist congregation and a Catholic parish. that are close to each other geographically. On Saturday night, we go to the Catholic Church for Mass, the Baptist pastor and his people. They come there for the Mass. Then we go to the hall for a coffee clutch. And after that, in the Catholic hall, Dr. Hastings gives a talk on what is a Baptist. And in that night, we only allow the Catholics to ask the questions. On Sunday night, we do it just the opposite. We go to the Baptist church, the Catholic pastor and his people. We ask the Baptist pastor on Sunday night to have a service as close as possible to Sunday morning's type of worship. After that, we go to the hall for coffee clutch, and then I give a talk on what is the Catholic, and the Baptist alone that night are to ask their questions. There's so many other kinds of dialogues I could talk about, but you want to get out of here for class, so we must move on, and I must control myself. I would just like to remind you of my feeling, of my experience, my contact with Baptists. It has enriched my life. I'm proud of my heritage as a Catholic. I love my heritage as a Catholic. But I've developed deep love and respect for Baptist people, a deep appreciation for your heritage. I've studied your history, and I've prayed in Baptist ways. I would conclude with the experiences I've had. First of all, it's standing with a Benedictine monk one day in the pouring rain at the Gaspar River campground near Bowling Green, Kentucky, near Russellville, Kentucky, which at least historically, as far as I know, was the source of the thrust into the hinterland of Baptist life in the early 1800s. I sat in the churchyard of First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, which to my knowledge is the first historic church of the Southern Baptist Convention. The church was locked that day, but I did go out to the graveyard, and beautifully enough, it was All Saints Day in the Catholic Church. And on a cold wintry day in Providence, Rhode Island, when no one else was out, only a fool would be walking the streets, I went over to the First Baptist Church in Providence, Rhode Island, again, to my knowledge, the oldest Baptist church in the United States, and the custodian let me in, and I had the whole church to myself. And on that occasion, and on those others, I sat and prayed that Baptists and Catholics would more and more understand each other. That Baptists and Catholics would more and more find ways to cooperate with each other. And that lastly, we would let the Holy Spirit do with us what he wills. And in my heart, although I may well be gone, I am confident that the Holy Spirit will do his thing with us. Long and difficult as the road might be, I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will move us all as he wills. And I will always pray for that. And I'm thankful for that opportunity to just say that in this beautiful church. Amen.
Let's pray together. O Lord, let the light of thy truth further illumine our minds. Let the light of thy love warm and fill our hearts. Let the light of understanding brighten the way that we walk, that we may walk together in obedience to thee and in service to humanity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.